morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good looking crowd this morning. We would like to welcome everyone, our visitors especially. And I don't know if this has ever happened before, but we got two Reverend Jims in the building today.
Lord have mercy.
God is good. God is good. And for all of you those that are here, we welcome you. Thank you for making your way here. It's good to see some faces we haven't seen in a while. It's good to see faces we haven't seen before in the building. We thank you for being here. And for those that will be listening later on the web, we welcome you as well. Today, our pastor is away doing a homecoming, and so we have made provisions to carry on. We have a special speaker today. He'll be introduced here shortly. And I want to thank you for being here, and I want to also remember the things that have happened this week. It's been a most unique way this week that things have happened like they have, and we've got to remember God's still in control, and we have great opportunities now to step up and serve like never before. And even though the hurricane has devastated people from Florida all the way up beyond our home, we have seen people step up already. So let's remember the opportunities that we have coming up in the days ahead to help those less fortunate from the hurricane, from the flooding. Many lives have been lost. So let's please keep these people in our prayers as we move forward. We were fortunate enough to get home before the rain hit the mountains. We've been up in the mountains, so I thank God for that. But there are many left behind with devastation. So if we would, let's just take a moment right now. There's been many lives lost, and I'd like to lead us in prayer if we would, please. Let's bow our heads. Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you that the sun is shining. We thank you for this. Your Son, Father. And Father, may we always let others see Jesus in us. Father, we have opportunities now to reach out and help others as we just learned in our Sunday school lesson, Father, that we're to show the love we have for you by loving others. I thank you for your Father for the time we had to hear these words. And now, Father, as we move forward, and as we spend time in prayer and in singing and in the message to come, Father, I'll lift up everything that will be said and done, Lord, to honor you. Father, the only reason, Father, we're here is to worship. And even though there's been devastation all around us all week, Father, I just pray now that we'll empty up our minds and open our hearts. May we come with a true sense of worship this day, Father. Thank you, Father, for the blessings that you give us every day, for life itself. Help us always to be ready, Lord, dear Lord, to share the love we have for you with others. For it's your Son's name we all ask. Amen.
Thank you, Lionel, and good morning, everyone. It is good to see you all this morning. As we do each Sunday morning, let's start off with a hymn sing. And we're going to sing one great Gaither song today, Because He Lives. If you all stand up, the words are going to be available to you. If we all stand together and sing, Because He Lives. remain standing for prayer, please. Doxology, please. New ushers you got there. They're doing a great job. Good job. That's wonderful. I do have a few announcements I want to share with you before we continue on. One thing I want to remind you, that the new deacon family list is available. Each deacon is responsible for a certain amount of families here in the church, and you get these. They'll be available right up front as you leave today. Get you one, take home, and keep in there. When your deacon's going to call you, and he's going to say, "I'm your deacon." And then we got a new list here. The deacons will have a new list to work with. So keep that in mind. Pick up your new list, okay? What I want to remind you, the stewardship committee is working now on the new budget for the ensuing year. And you department heads have got a sheet like this. By now, it's what it requires you to do is just fill out what you think you might need next year in your department. So do that. We need all those in today if you can. For Brenda, if you don't, certainly as soon as you can, because the stewardship will be meeting sometime next week, and so make sure you do that. Okay, that's that business. Okay, now we are going to be observing the Lord's Supper next Sunday, so be sure you're thinking about that. Home offerings closes the day, and we're at 7:55 so far. So keep that in your mind. Also, you see the schedule there for the youth and for the discipleship training that's coming up. Golden Ages mountain trip. And Brenda, I don't know what's going on in the mountains now, if we'll get to go, but it'll be October the 15th, God willing. But as Lionel has already shared with you this morning, there's a great need there. So we'll see what lies in store there for that. I've been asked to remind you that we have a new Wi-Fi network there, and if you have any questions about anything signing on, see West and his crew, and he'll get you going. And West, you have anything you want to add to that? Just to let you know. Yep. Have any problems? Just okay. All right. Wonderful. Wonderful. All right. Now I've got another announcement here. A nice, wonderful announcement to share with you. It's a boy, and Everett and Richard Honeycutt, born September the 24th. 2024, 8 pounds and 4 ounces, 21 inches long. The proud parents are Zach and Cindy Honeycutt, and the proud brothers was William, Joshua, and Carter, and proud grandparents are Ron and Christy Honeycutt, and proud great-grandmother is Christine Sasser. So that's wonderful, great news congratulations to the family there. I want to meet with the praise team just right after service today, just for just a few minutes. Well, I promise it won't be long. And I know sometimes you wonder if I'm going to keep that word, but it'll be quick. I promise you. It will be quick. I promise you that. Okay. All right. That concludes the announcements, unless I forgot something. Yes. Go ahead. Rosina. I bet you've got some of that good food available too. If a visitor was like on the street and come by, it'd be all right to get a donut. Thank you for a job well done, Rosina. Appreciate that very much. All right, anybody else? If not, we'll go to our prayer request and prayer this morning. As Lionel has already shared with you, there's a great need for those that are suffering through the flooding. And I got a little bit of that coming back from Tupelo, Mississippi myself, and it rained torrential rain all the way up the line. And so I know what they're going through, some of it, not all of it, by no means. But let's keep those people in our prayers. Let's remember Pastor Ed. He's traveling today for Traveling Mercy. Let's remember him today. Reverend Jim, who is here with us today, is a visiting with Jim, and we welcome you today. And as we welcome welcome all the visitors here today. Hava, let's remember Hava Mock is suffering from cancer, and let's remember the small child is dealing with cancer, and then McDonald Britt as well has asked for prayer this morning. Do I have other members or any other people we need to put on prayer requests this morning? Yes, Lori. Sure. Okay, Jay, we'll definitely be a member of Jay.
And also, my cousin just texted me in Alabama, and her husband passed away this morning. So
your cousin, what's the name?
Terry Laurio.
Terry?
Laurio, L-A-U-R-I-O.
Okay.
Leonard?
Okay.
Leonard?
Yes, ma'am.
The family of Stephen Helms, Reba Eford, yeah. Helms, that used to go here, it's from this community. Her husband passed away Wednesday morning, so please pray for that family.
Okay. All right. Got that?
Leonard?
Stephen, yes.
I have two things. One, I'm going to give a word of praise. We've had my niece, Angie Waldron, on our prayer list. Mm-hmm. Had been diagnosed with non-alcoholic cirrhosis of the liver. Mm-hmm. Went to the doctor this past week, and she is totally cured.
Wonderful. Amen.
Also, her mom, they have found a spot on her mom's lung, and they're going to be doing surgery on October 23rd to remove it.
What's her name?
Kay Hopkins.
Kay Hopkins. Okay. All right. Yes. Absolutely.
And let's pray for Traveling Mercies on getting the Church of God Women's Retreat group. They left on Thursday, and they are stranded on the other side of Asheville and cannot get home. So let's pray for Traveling Mercies and all the above for them. They're still stuck there. They've had a great retreat, but it's,
they've decided to stay.
The Lord has decided to let them stay.
Oh my goodness.
Let's pray for that situation.
We will. Are there others? We spend this time each Sunday morning on prayer, and the reason we do that, prayer changes things.
Amen.
And God's in control. But sometimes He wants us to ask for help. You know, I find that out when I was a young boy. I could want things all I wanted, but until I asked for it, not much happened. I think God wants us to be specific, and by doing that, join me in prayer, if you will, for these people, okay? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. You've given us a time of worship, a time of praise. And God, before I ask you for anything, anything at all, Lord, first let me thank you. Thank you for the many blessings that you've already given us. And Lord, as I look out over the congregation this morning and I think of the praise and the glory that we owe you for the fact that they had the health to be here and they prioritized their time to be here to worship today. And we thank you for them. We pray a special blessing upon Pastor Reverend Jim as he comes before us today. And as he comes and delivers the message today, we ask that you would be with him, guide him and lead him and guide him, I pray, Lord. And we thank you for Miss Sheila, who is with him today. We pray a special blessing for her as well. But then, Lord, there are those that's been mentioned this morning that I believe you want us to be specific, and so I want to mention their names this morning in our prayer this morning. I pray for all the flooding, those who have flooded and up in the mountains and all around, and all who've lost homes in the storm in Florida and all around. Lord, there's so many hurting people, Lord. You know who they are, Lord, but I want to just pray for them this morning. We pray for Pastor Ed, who is, Lord, he's traveling. We ask a special blessing upon him. Upon little Hava Mock, Lord, we ask a blessing upon her as she's fighting cancer. And Lord, we know that you can control it all and you can make her whole again. And Lord, we pray for healing for her body. We pray for McDonough Brent, Lord, as she is having some problems, Lord, that we need to lift her up before the Lord. We pray for Angie, Lord, and for a praise report that we've given. And then, Lord, for Kay Hopkins, we ask a special blessing upon her. Jay, Lord, as he goes forward for more tests, we pray for him, Lord, and ask a special blessing upon him. Michael, as he goes for travel and mercy, we ask for travel and mercy for Michael. And then for Terry Leonard, and then for Stephen Helms' family, those two families, Lord, who've lost loved ones. We pray for that family. And then, Lord, we don't want to forget the people from the Church of God, Lord, who are traveling in the mountains and who have lost, unable to get home due to the weather and to the flooding. We pray for them and give them patience, Lord, and give them a time together where they can continue to pray for all those around them. And, Lord, do we ask now, as we go forward in this service today, if what all is done, Lord, we'll give you all the glory and all the praise forever. Amen. Okay, our choir's going to sing, and I'm going to step over and get to sing with y'all. How wonderful. Yes. That's great.
Yes. So I got to tell on Kathy. So Kathy didn't get to be with us for choir practice Wednesday night, and you know what happens when you're absent from something. You get nominated for the leading role in the part. So I text her, and I said, so Kathy, we decided to do Lighthouse, and you're it. You get to do the solo. And, of course, she's always so gracious and jumps in and does a beautiful job. And we thank her for that. And then we're going to all be helpers. So, choir, join me. This looks so nice. Yes. We've got a good group up here. Yes.
You are doing the second part.
Yes, the ladies are helping.
Yes. Awesome.
So just sing along with us, worship with us, enjoy. This is a lot of our congregation's favorites, some that's still with us, some that's gone on. But I love them all, and they're all favorites. But just enjoy and sing along with us.
There's a lighthouse on the hillside that overlooks life's sea. When I'm tossed, it sends out a light that I might see, and the light that shines in darkness.
Thank you, choir. Kathy, thank you. Earlier on this summer, I was doing things that we've been doing for about a year with a fellow classmate who is here today. And Chuck, I want to thank you and Rita both for being here today. Chuck and I and some other classmates were meeting and on a regular basis once a month, and he told me about somebody I needed to meet. And I said, okay, I'm ready. And I got to meet this gentleman in another church on a Sunday. I wasn't playing hooky, but I went there for a purpose that Sunday to meet someone and to worship. And this is where I met Reverend Jim Freeland. I later on went and spent some time, Tamara and I did, in his home with his wife Sheila, and we sat and talked for a long time. And this is how God works. It was during that time the pastor, Ed, came to me and said, can you find a speaker for this particular Sunday, the 29th of August, September, because I'm going to be away doing a homecoming. And I said, ironically, I just met him. This is how God works. And I know Jim's got a lot to say. I know God has laid him a message on his heart, because when we went to visit with Jim and Sheila, said God had just gave me a message. I said, well, that's good, because we need to hear it. And I want to thank you both, Sheila and Jim, for being here today. And I look forward to it. Before I call you up, Jim, I want to say a few things about you. And I'm hoping I say this in a way that is correct. I asked him to give me a little bit of a bio. So here we go. It was about 56 years ago that God saved him. About 4 years later, God called him. And he established and served as a pastor at Trinity Baptist Church in Waynesboro, Pennsylvania, back in the late 70s and early 80s. And then God called him to go to this place called Liberty Baptist Theological Seminary, where he graduated in 1991. He went on to get ordained and licensed at Grace Baptist Church in Augusta, Georgia, back in 1992. And then he established and served as pastor the Church of Grace in Moscow, Russia. And that was 1992 through 1998. And since then, he served also as a chaplain for the Disabled American Veterans and Charter 10 from 2000-2010. And that's all I know about you, Jim. But God knows the rest. So, Jim, if you would come at this time and share your heart with us, and you can close the service as God leads you, brother.
Thank you, brother.
Can I do something for you?
Yeah.
Can I pray for you?
Sure.
Okay. Father, right now, I just lift up your servant. Mm-hmm. Jim, to you, Father. Fill his heart, fill his mind. And Lord, may it fill our ears and our hearts as well.
Yeah.
If it's your holy name that we ask.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lionel. How can you hear me okay?
Oh, yeah.
In the back, can you hear me all right, sir? I want to commend you, first of all, for really checking out who it is you invite in your pulpit, because we know we're living in
say even the right things.
But the warning is for us, and even today, be careful. So I admire your church for checking out who it is that you let in your pulpit. So you're to be commended and patted on the back for that. I don't need patted on the back or adulation for anything I've done. One habit I formed early on when God called me, see, I couldn't do enough up at the church where I got saved in the hills of West Virginia. Every time they had a meeting, I was there. I mean, when the door was open, I was there. When it was locked, I asked the pastor to open it. I never could get enough of what God wanted me to do. Finally, he reached a point where he said, "All right, Jim, I'm going to give you something to do." And that's what I call the call to the ministry. It didn't involve a lot of education, even though I went to seminary and did all the bells and whistles that are required. But oftentimes I make fun of my education that I had in the hills of West Virginia. But there was one thing about that I understood from God was the meaning of the word go. It was simple. Go. But the details came later. Like, where do you want me to go? What do you want me to do? But I didn't know what God meant when he said go. So I did. And I've never stopped going, by the way. Never stopped going, by the way. And it's just been a habit of mine. So when Lionel asks, what do I do?
You go, right?
You go. Now, I want to share with you this morning a thought from the Word of God that has really captured my thinking lately. I say lately because I've been infatuated with the Word of God for 57 years, and oftentimes it crossed paths with the way I think. Could you hear me? Sometimes my priorities in life didn't mesh with what God wanted me to be and do. But this particular part of Scripture just kind of grabbed me, and I got interested in it. This is in the last 3 months. 3 months. Because I have a bad habit when I read the Scripture. I like to read those verses that I've highlighted from the past. And I even have notes out there, and I understand those verses. But some of the verses that I don't understand, I skip over. You like that? You probably are all Bible scholars. Got PhDs a mile long, right, from Joe Blow's prominent theatrical center. But I skipped over some of the things I didn't understand. But recently, God has showed me something that I overlooked. And I got excited, and I started studying it about 3 months ago. I started studying it, and then, you know what happens when you study something in the Word of God that interests you? What happens to you, ma'am? What happens?
You learn.
You learn. Yeah, that's good. We learn, and I learn, and then it was so strong. He arrested me. And he said, "Oh my. Oh my, Jim. Now what are you going to do with it? Now what are you going to do with it?" And that's what I want to talk to you about today.
So rather than belabor the point, Timothy tells us all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it's profitable for you and I to learn, to be reproved, in other words, stop doing what you're doing, and to learn and start doing what I tell you to do. That kind of a thing. But it's all scripture. So I don't have any new book that I'm reading or new understanding that comes from revelations that I've received last night. I don't have any news from the church three states over that's having a big time revival, and you wonder, why can't that be us? We're good-hearted people. No, what I have for you today is simply literal look at the Word of God. So I'll take this oath to with you today. I'll pledge my allegiance to all Scripture. Say that with me. All Scripture. You don't know which one I'm going to read to you. Is that going to include this? All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So what? So what? So that I can learn? No. So that the man of God can be thoroughly furnished to every good work. That's what the scripture says. So God expects me to take something he said and do it. Now that I've laid that groundwork, let's look at that. We're going to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And I'm not going to read anything to you. I got notes, but if you were as old as me, you'd have notes too. First Corinthians chapter 11. I got a new Bible and I'm not using it today. There's a story behind this old one, but it's like an old friend. It is like an old friend of mine. Been around with, been to a lot of places, a lot of things. The choir was singing today. My mind goes back to that stormy night when just in time I saw the light. Wasn't that the song? It grabbed my heart today because it didn't take me too long to think back to that stormy night when, even though I was 19, I was on the verge of thinking I was going to die that year. You say, oh, what's wrong with you? You got mental health problems? No. I got orders to go to Vietnam, and the guy in our town, little West Virginia town, I told you, they probably tell you that often, because I'm thankful for the way I was raised. But the big football star in our town came back in a body bag. And I said, whoop, wait a minute. If Richard so-and-so, as big as he was, as strong as he was, if he couldn't make it home for me at home, you're done, little guy. I'm just a little Lebanese guy, you know, just a little guy. How are you going to make it? So I went to my Catholic priest. I was raised Roman Catholic. I went to my Catholic priest and I said, how am I going to make it home? Blah, 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 blah. Took the rosaries and all that. That's okay. But then I went to my wife's pastor. I'll never forget it. Rainy night. I wouldn't go to her church. No, Renegades over at the end of the Buffalo Creek. I said that all, you know, big old proud tough me, because I just been through basic training. I'll meet your pastor halfway, big shot. So I met him halfway in the church building. He turned the lights on. It's kind of like this. Turned the lights on. <coughs> 57 years ago. I can see it tonight as visible as can be. He led me to Jesus Christ. Amen. I've never been the same since. Boy, it captured me. Now, as we get into this scripture, I'm going to talk about memory a lot. And you're going to have to bear with me. Because the memory, and my friend Karen and I had just talked this week. We were in revival over at our church. And Karen started explaining some things to me about the mind and how delicate it is and how you can recall things. And I realized memory is a very important thing. I'll quote the famous theologian, Barbara Streisand. You know her? What she said in that song, Memories. Memories. Like the corner of my mind. Now, I want you to go there with your memories now. You say, oh, why are those so important to you, Jim? Well, here's why they're important. If you've ever had a brain injury, anybody here other than me had a brain injury? Good, good, good for you. So Barbara said, she said, in the corners of your mind, so if we went to the corner of this room, and we look back in the corner of my mind, we're going to recall some things. Let me make it more relative to you. Let me ask you this before I get into scripture. Lionel, oh, you just got me off on this time. Okay, because I did try. All right. What is the most profound memory that you have of Jesus Christ? What is the most recent memory you have of Jesus Christ? Come on, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Isn't that what the Bible says? Think about it. Well, I remember back. Shouldn't it be the same for every one of us, if we say we're Christians? Should not the most profound memory you have of Jesus Christ be that day, that night, that moment, he drug me up out of the sin, the muck, and the mire of that life I was living, and he put me on the solid rock. Him, Jesus Christ. Yeah. Shouldn't that be our common memory that we should have? Well, I'm going to talk a lot about memory because here's what we're going to do, and we're going to make it relative to this church.
Well, we had a guest speaker. We had a guest speaker on the Sunday we were supposed to have communion. Okay. Let's talk about having communion. When we were instructed by the Apostle Paul to take communion, to share the Lord's table, when we talked about the broken body of the Lord Jesus Christ, what were we supposed to do concerning memory? Now let's read it. 1 Corinthians. Now, I'm going to bring us up to date real quick. Here's the Apostle Paul. It's after Jesus Christ had been died, buried, and rose again. 50 years after, the Apostle Paul is saved, and now his whole life has changed. He's now a traveling preacher, and one with some reputation finally built up, and he's traveling up in Greece. He's in Corinth, Greece, and what kind of a town was this Corinth, Greece? What was it known for? It was probably a lot like Charleston, South Carolina. You know, it was a city of commerce, and there was a lot of travel in and out, international travel, and they also had some reputations that were not good ones. One of them is they were known for their incest. You know what that is? I had to double check with my nurse wife to get a little more details. I told you I'm a chunk of coal, right? So they were known for incest, and they were known for something else. Every time, this might strike home, because it did with me and my church background. Every time the believers met together, and they did a lot of meeting together. You talk about eating and meeting and feasting and all that stuff. It was nothing compared to these folks in Corinth. Every time they met, they had to eat. I mean, they ate between services. They ate between Sunday school and worship service. They were eating a bunch of people. So now, yeah. So they got this thing all confused in Corinth. They thought, hey man, we got it made, we got a good job, we travel in and out, that's good. So, if one meal together is good, then two would be better, right? So, they turned the Lord's Supper into what? An eating fest. They just turned it into an eating fest. And they would just eat and drink. Talk about drinking. They drank so much they would get drunk. So the Apostle Paul says, hey, look, there's nothing spiritual about this. Here's what you're doing wrong. The Apostle Paul said this in Corinthians. What you're doing wrong is this. You're not doing this often enough. What? You mean we can eat more? No. That's just the first thing you're doing wrong. The first thing you're doing wrong is you're not doing it often enough. Now, to see if this shoe fits, then you go ahead and wear it. Let me let you know how it fit me. If they're not taking communion down at my church as because I think I need it, then I'm going to do it on my own. You say, oh, you're just rebellious. You're rebellious. No. Because the Apostle Paul said, Jesus taught him this. Do this in remembrance of me. If you don't do it, that's the thing. We never read the rest of the chapter. Well, I'm going to say something here that's going to shake a couple of you up, but I feel like I should say it. If you underestimate the power of communion, where you call into memory the broken body of Jesus Christ, you're in for some big trouble. What do you mean? Well, let's read this. I'm going to have to skip. I told you about Corinth. We're in chapter 11. So these people in Corinth were slow learners like me, because the Apostle Paul was there preaching for a year and a half, and he never got beyond lesson number one. It's like they were all stuck in first grade. And he was a year and a half into the ministry, and they were still at square one. So he starts out, the Apostle Paul starts out in chapter 11, verse 1. He's very tactful in his teaching the group of new believers. He said, first thing he said is, I praise you. I praise you for this. I praise you for... And then he drops the ball on him. Then he drops the ball on him. In verse 17, he says, I declare unto you, I praise you not. Well, what? What's coming now? You just told me I was doing a good job. No. I praise you not. So strongly is this not praising that I'm going to give you a warning. Now, to grasp this, you'll have to read through this section of Scripture. But I want to get to the point of why I came out today. Clear up in verse 30. You're not taking communion properly. You're making it a ritual. You're turning it into something it's not. You're turning it into a show, or you're just tacking it on the end of your service just so I can get out the door. You made it easy. You wrapped it up in a little nice package. All I got to do is eat it, teach my kids to eat it, out the door. Okay. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause, what cause? Not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause, many are sick. And some even die early or fall asleep. Is that a word for anybody in the room today? Is that a warning for anybody in the room today? Oh, you say, oh, does that include a cold or no? Um, respectfully. But I also want to understand what God says in His Word. Maybe I should think about taking communion more often. Maybe I should think about not turning it into a big show ritual, or maybe I should think about, like Chuck and I try to. We just, old people have to, he's not old, but older people like me have trouble peeling this thing off. Oh no, you gotta hurry through it. Slam, bam, I'm out the door. But the worst part is, the scripture says, when we take communion, okay, you got me. I'm going to sit there. I'm going to take communion. I'm going to do it as often as the pastor tells me. Okay, good boy. Pat on the head. Good for you. Now, do we take it with a thankful heart, as Scripture tells us? With thanksgiving. Or how about this? Do we take Holy Communion with an unrepentant heart? You say, oh, no, Jimmy, now you're prying. You're prying into my lifestyle. I like to do this. This is important to me. I like to drink this and smoke that. Take this pill and all that. Jim, don't go there, because I'll tell you what I do, Jim. Here's what I'll do. I think I'll just skip Communion Sunday. How about that? I'll just skip it. That Sunday they put it in the bulletin, so I know when it's coming. So I'll just skip. Scripture to say about not taking communion and not taking it properly. Talk to me. You all know your Bibles.
You're in damnation.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. You're asking for judgment. You're asking for it. You're asking for it. Anybody here other than me been on the other end of God chastening stick? Thank you, man, for your honesty. Thank you, man, for your honesty. Thank you, sir. Thank you. It hurts. God chasing us. You say, oh, I'm saved. Don't talk to me about that stuff. I'm saved. I've been coming here. I got all the Sunday school badges. I got the whole deal. Look, got the right tie on, the whole deal. Okay. Why does God have to chasten us? Why does He have to judge us? It's not for your sin. If you're a Christian, if you've been born again, then your sin is not in question here. Jesus took care of that, did He not? Yes, Jesus took care of all that. Past, present, and what, honey? Future, right? I saw you shaking. The whole thing is under the blood of Jesus. Remember that. Remember that. Then why do I have to judge myself? Because I've kind of got my, because of things trying to form a church. So they're young believers. And he says, you're trying to walk a clean path. You're trying to walk a clean path in a dirty world. And why am I having trouble trying to walk a clean path in a dirty world as a Christian? Well, I'll apply it to myself. Because maybe I don't call into remembrance the broken body of the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, you're stretching the truth. Well, I don't think so. So you say, well, what do I do? Do I tell the pastor? Do we have to take a church vote and tell the pastor we should have communion every week? No. You don't have to do that. Do it in your own family. You say, what do you mean? Do it in your own family. Come together. Do it often. And do it at home. Is that all right? Anybody say that's wrong? I don't think so. Because I need. See, I never thought I'd be 77. But as you get older, your memory becomes very precious. And what you memorialize or think about is usually what you become. So, what I've said to you today is, remember the Lord's body. And Scripture prophesies about His body. And it says in Isaiah, by His stripes, what? You are healed. By His stripes you are healed. Look, let me just put it in common hillbilly language. I'll just sit here like a wise old guy and tell you this is how hillbillies think. You know, I'm tired of being sick all the time. I'm tired of running to the doctor's office 3 times a week and only go to church once. I'm tired of this whole thing. You say, oh, you're a faith healer. No, I'm not a faith healer. I'm talking about what the Bible says today to me is, if I would recall and understand and discern the Lord's body that was beaten, whipped, spear in His side, so strongly, I'm going to make that public right now. Is there anybody that says, God has spoken to my heart concerning that, and I am going to start taking communion more regularly and more thoughtfully. I'm going to discern the Lord's body till he comes. Anybody say that? Thank you. I'll join you. I'm going to do that. I'm thinking about, it is so heavy on me that I'm thinking about doing it once a week. Is anybody willing to do that with me? Once a week, a day you choose. This is not a get-together thing, don't get me wrong. I don't even drive anymore, so I'd have trouble meeting you anywhere. That's how messed up my memory is. Now, is there anybody who says, hey, look, they can do what they want to down at church, that's fine, I'm going to be there too. But I'm going to be there clean. I'm going to be there with a thankful heart. I'm going to be there with a repentant heart. I'm going to make it what it is. A discernment of the Lord's body that was given for my healing. I'm going to do that. You all raise your hands. Are you going to do that? Thank you. All right. Let's pray together. I think the pianist is going to come. The musician is going to come. We're going to sing a song. If you feel it's necessary for you to make that public in this church, come on up here so somebody can pray with you. And if you believe in anointing and oil, I've got that, even though we haven't talked about that. That's a subject for another time. But if you feel like it's necessary to come up here while the choir's singing, just go ahead and do it. I'll pray with you. I've got other brothers in the room and sisters that will be glad to pray with you. So I'll let the song leader, my brother, take it over.
Okay, thank you. Let's all stand. We'll sing Precious Memories. Precious Memories, the words on the board. All sing together. Precious memories are Jim. We thank you all for coming. We thank you all for coming today, and thank you, Pastor Jim. We appreciate the words. And let's be dismissed at this point. Our Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the many blessings. We thank you for those that came today to be with us, Lord, as visitors. We pray for them especially. Now, Lord, we ask now, Lord, that you would dismiss us and bring us back the next appointed hour in your precious love. I make this prayer. Amen. Thank you all for coming.